The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, the great chapter where Paul describes Christians as the children of light who've been brought out of darkness. We hear verses 15 through 17. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our Christian faith through them. Amen." Pastors will often offer a series of adult confirmation classes for people that want to come and join the church. And when I would do that, I would typically open it up to the whole congregation, even people who'd already been confirmed, just to invite anybody that wanted to maybe come back and go through it. And one year, a lady probably in her mid-20s came and joined the class. She'd already been a member of the church her whole life. She had gone through confirmation at age 14, but now came back to the class. And after the first class, I just pulled her aside and I said, "Hey, it's great to see you here, and it's nice to have one of the members come back and take adult confirmation." And she said, "Well, I felt I really needed it." And she said, "I need to explain something to you. When I was in college," she said, I had a teacher who was really nice, and he started talking to me after classes and things. And later on, I realized that just by his influence, he was starting to talk me out of my faith. I was starting to question and doubt things in the Word of God because of my relationship with this professor, that I was very intrigued by him and so on. And she said it took me into my early 20s and now mid-20s to realize what was starting to happen. So I want to come back and go through these classes again just to strengthen myself in all of this. I don't want to lose this faith. You know, there are real forces that try to take Christian faith out of people's hearts. And that's what St. Paul is addressing. Those who have been brought to faith in Jesus as their Savior know him as this wonderful Son of God who came into the world and for the sole purpose of rescuing us from our sins and to get us out of our graves someday. He went to the cross for each one of us to make payment and atonement for everything we've ever done wrong that God could have condemned us over, but because of what Christ has done for us, that's all been wiped away. We've been forgiven, declared holy and righteous in God's sight. And when we have faith in Christ, we possess that beautiful hope of being able to go to heaven, not because of us, not because of anything we do, but because of the Savior and what he's done for us. And it gives us the hope of getting out of our graves someday. Jesus says, following his resurrection, "Because I live, you shall live also," to those who believe in him. So think of the amazing things that we possess by knowing Christ and believing in him and trusting him in him in our hearts. But Jesus himself also warns us that where the cross is, where someone is at the foot of the cross loving him, there will be a cross in your life. There will be challenges to the fact that you have this precious faith in your heart. And those who cling to Jesus and hold on to him in this faith are going to be attacked in the world. They're going to be ridiculed by the world. And people are going to try to tear this faith out of our hearts. Have you ever noticed that when you were a little child, if you grew up in the church, when you were a little child, it was an easy thing to kind of believe in Jesus and love him? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? It's easy for us as a little child. But as you get older and into your teen years is when you start to have questions and some doubts and things. I remember when our children were little, my son was about in kindergarten, maybe first grade. He was going to a public school, and I knew he wasn't getting any religion there, so at night after devotion or after supper, we would take him through kind of a little lesson on our faith. And I remember one night I was asking him a question about creation. We were going through what the Bible teaches us about how God created the world. And I said to him, there was a question after this lesson. The question was basically, who do you think knows more about how the world came to be? God in his word, or do you think scientists today? And this was my son's reaction. He was probably six at the time. This was his reaction. Dad. It's like, what a stupid question. That was kind of his reaction. This precious little childlike faith, just, come on, don't even ask me this question. It's ridiculous, right? I remember thinking that day, it'll be interesting when he's 20 to ask him the same question. How might he think about it then? Jesus often describes how precious it is to have that childlike faith. There was a theologian named Dr. Walther who said that as soon as you become a Christian, Satan and the world want to reclaim you, and so the battle is now waged. And they will try to get at you any way they can. They will try any different avenue in your life. They might do it intensely sometimes. They might try to do it very subtly, like that young lady. So why does Paul give us this warning? Because as a Christian, this is now going to be a struggle the rest of your life, all the way to your grave. There are three great enemies of our faith: the devil, the world that does not believe in Christ, and they have an ally inside of us, our own sinful flesh. Our own sinful hearts, we call it the old Adam, that rebels against God even still today. And they will attack us from every possible angle, whether it's subtle or whether it's in your face. And the hard thing about these attacks and this whole thing we're talking about is it's invisible. It's something that just goes on inside of our hearts and our minds. Notice St. Paul's warning. He says to Christians, walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. You can hear the word circle in there and spectacle, right? It means that while you're walking through life in your faith, trusting in Christ, make sure you're looking around. Make sure that you're keeping an eye on things. The Greek word here actually is the same word for acrobat, to walk very carefully. And just like a soldier maybe going into enemy territory, expecting that there could be possibly an attack from any side around him, around each corner, to be cautious and observant. We don't have to be paranoid. We have the Son of God with us. We have God himself with us, the one that's going to take us to heaven someday, who has power and authority over anything in the world. So we don't have to be paranoid, but we do need to be cautious. We do need to be careful. And Paul directs us back to where we can find our strength to get through this fight. He says that we should draw our strength from Christ himself and the word and his sacraments that keep us in this faith. Listen to what he says. He says, you should be redeeming the time. That's an interesting phrase, redeeming the time. We redeem the time about our faith when it comes to holding on firmly to God and his word. Martin Luther used to say it this way: be willing to steal and rob any time that will benefit your faith. That's a great line. Be willing to steal and rob any time that will benefit your faith. Take advantage of the opportunities that help you stay with Christ. And surround yourself likewise with people that will help you with that. In the following verses, right after the text we're looking at today, Paul goes on to say this: be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Worship, in other words, is one of the great ways, what we're doing right now, to stay in our faith, to reconnect our souls again back to this wonderful Savior and everything that he brings to us. And music has a special way of doing that. It embeds this precious faith in our hearts, and it helps us hold on to it. When I was 4 years old, I was at my grandfather's bedside. He was dying of cancer. And my uncles, there were three or four of them, that came in his room one day when I was this little boy. And I remember they sang hymns to him around his bedside. And it was just, I can still hear their deep male voices singing hymns to my grandpa and to help him stay in his faith. Think about deathbed hymns for yourself someday. What kind of music do you want people singing to you? Do you want a Disney song? You want some fluffy little song that has nothing to do with anything? There's plenty of them out there. There's even plenty of them in the churches. You want a song that's got some meat and substance to it that presents Christ to you and everything that he stands for you. That's one of the reasons that here in our chapel, we try to really encourage the singing of good hymns that has good theology in it. If you look at each hymn, it has Christ in it, because without him, you got nothing. It always has the way of salvation connected to it, the way to get to heaven, because that's the most important thing that this college is about. Another thing that we do when we worship is we stand and confess our faith together. We confess the creeds together in church. Notice that the pastor isn't the only one that does that for you. Everybody gets up and confesses, "I believe in God the Father Almighty," and so on. And when you're doing that, that's the one time in church you can look around. That's the one time you should turn and look around and to see all the fellow believers in Christ standing there with you, holding you up and supporting you in this wonderful walk that we have on our way to heaven. You know, on Judgment Day, it's going to be sad to see people not let into heaven who at one time had this precious faith, but let somebody talk them out of it, or possibly fell into other ways of thinking and drifted away from Christ. What you and I have been given by God, what we possess by faith in the Savior, is way too precious to lose. The Jerusalem of this world today is very dangerous. It's a hostile battle zone. But the Jerusalem above has no war, and everything is peaceful. God has given you the gift of faith to belong and be a citizen of that coming Jerusalem. Make sure you get to see that someday. Amen.